When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on every day. We're on again, 1 to 4. And then after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app to John and Ken on Demand podcast. So it'll probably take me about an hour and a half to get myself back in the groove here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're live. I think they did a best of yesterday, so we're back.
They found something? Live.
They did.
And the day before.
Wow. And you know, the only story that got a reaction from any emails was the monkey labor story. You replayed that, didn't you, Eric?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
The monkey labor story.
I refresh my memory, Eric. What, monkeys have to pick coconuts or pick something for,
I don't even remember what segment that
was. Oh, because I got, some listeners were sending me messages asking me if I'm banning coconut milk from my diet.
Oh, geez.
So that's why. Okay.
Yeah, because there was a story in the
monkeys
news.
Monkeys have to pick coconuts. God, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I remember that story.
All right. Well, one of us.
Some sort of animal slave labor story that we had fun with, and I guess we mocked her because, you know, it's not dairy. It's they're picking it to make sort of milk products.
I see. All right.
We still have money for you to win. The inflation compensation contest continues on KFI with a word to be revealed each hour of our show, the first word, at 1:20. I suppose of all the things that have happened in the past couple of weeks, and I wasn't here Thursday or Friday either, we could spend the entire show on the new homeless count. I really believe we
could. Maybe we should.
Disappointing, discouraging are the reaction from public officials. And my favorite, which I knew, and I found it in the first story I looked at, people are falling into homelessness faster than we can keep up.
That's to justify their whole bureaucratic operation that's a complete failure.
Failure of housing first is so evident. So many people have so many dysfunctional problems on the streets that this idea if we just throw them into a shelter or we let them lie there till we can build permanent housing, they'll be fine is nonsense.
That's the issue. There isn't enough money and there isn't enough time to build apartments for every homeless person. There never will be because they're not falling into homelessness. They're traveling here. Because we give them a good deal. They're coming from all over the country every day.
Nobody's
falling out of a window into homelessness.
Oh, you missed a big report while you're on vacation. One of these nonprofits, and everybody picked it up and ran with it. That is not true. Like 90% of the people they interviewed fell into homelessness in California. They did not come here. And they, well, the headlines were refutes long-held belief that all the homeless are coming to California from other states.
All of them.
They interviewed like thousands of people who claimed they're homeless, and that was their response, that I was living here when I became homeless.
Oh, right. And so we're going to talk to mental patients and drug addicts and assume they're telling the truth.
Oh, yeah, because some of the addiction and alcohol numbers I thought were low. In terms of the percentages of people, I think that they did make stuff up.
Of course they're low. They don't self-report anything. They're insane. You see a guy running around with a machete. You think he's going to tell you what drug he's on accurately or where he's from? He doesn't even know who he is.
And the incentive might be to say, well, of course I'm from California, because you don't want to take a chance you could lose some kind of benefits by saying, I just jumped in here a month ago.
There's nobody in the media out here telling the truth. They're not. And so there's all kinds of bogus, fake, distorted reports in order to keep the machine going. They need the public relations aspect to try to strengthen their support for these multi-billion-dollar programs that fail. All they can do is have the LA Times gin up some stupid, phony survey and use it to refute, right? Because they don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose public support. They lose public support, they lose their money, they're all out of work. If you don't realize this is a huge, long-running con, I don't know what to tell you. You're just a naive dope.
I'm looking at the chart that appeared in the El Segundo Times last week. Again, this count was done in January, so you can't totally blame Mayor Bassetti for not getting people off the street, because this count, if you believe in it, was done before her inside safe crap started up. She became mayor in December. But you look at 2015, the count was 25,000. 2023, the count is now well over, and this is the number of people experiencing homelessness in Los Angeles County, is now approaching 75,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, the count in 2015 was actually closer to 40,000. But now we're approaching 75,000. And I say once again, what happened in 2014, that ugly Proposition 47.
That's it.
And that and Garcetti being mayor are two big reasons. Because most of the homeless, by the way, are in L.A. City.
Yeah, it is. No, it's Garcetti, because he completely stopped enforcing all the laws that would slow down the homelessness. And that Prop 47 and 57, it's the single worst proposition ever passed in any state in any country ever, because it let people out of jail and it kept them from going to jail, especially over drug issues. Well, then so now you have drug addicts stacked up in the streets. Of course you would.
Yeah, Prop 47 took away the felony for drug use. That they could hold over your head to say, look, you're going to get into treatment or you're going to go into jail. Without that, they'll just like walk out the door and say, see you another time.
You imagine this. You have a guy committing drug crimes. You got three choices. You send him to jail. You send him to rehab treatment. Or he goes free back into the street. We chose door number three. He goes back in the street. And then 8 years later, it's like, where'd all these drug addicts come from? What a stupid society we are here in L.A. Honestly, we're just a stupid, stupid population. Of course we have drug addicts piled up in the streets, because you had to either put them in jail or force them into treatment. Huh? What do you think? Is there another way to interpret this? I mean, you do too many stupid things for too many years, you destroy. San Francisco did the same thing. You just destroy your city.
And of course, L.A. led the country in people living outdoors by far. New York City, by the way, had a jump in their homeless population. Yeah. That number also just came out, but they do shelter some of them in some type of place.
Yeah, and where do you think all the people who live in cold and wet climates, where they come to be homeless and do their drugs? Here, because we don't prosecute. We don't prosecute for drugs. We don't prosecute for urinating and defecating in the street. Anybody tells you otherwise, they're lying. They want to keep the money flowing. They already suckered billions out of everyone. They want to keep suckering billions. They make good money.
The thing that jumped out, and we'll be talking about this in more detail next hour with KFI news reporter Blake Trolley, the biggest jumps, if you believe this homeless count, were actually on the west side and in the harbor area. That's where they found the biggest jump in the number of homeless people. And I still remember that story when they did a count a couple of years ago that they audited a tract in Venice which was reported by the homeless counters as a zero. And they saw like 25 people instantly. And everyone was like, I'm not so sure about how they count the homeless.
That's the thing. The increase probably isn't really that big an increase. It's just that they purposely didn't count a lot of homeless that were there the year before.
Right.
Because there were a number of zeros and they were all in Bonin's district. And that was engineered, I'm sure, by Bonin. I can't prove it, but I'm absolutely certain that Bonin engineered, just the way they engineered that the recall would fail. I think we have a dishonest, corrupt government, and I think Bonin was a big part of it. And so this year with him,
good news is she only took over Tracy Park in December, and then she's been working with Karen Bass to move some of those vagrants out on the west side. The number next year might be better there.
Yeah, it might be. But I don't think we really had that big an increase. It's just they didn't count the homeless entirely the year before. And that's because Bonin was trying to artificially deflate the number before the next election, not knowing that he wasn't going to be running in the next election.
All right, we got more coming up, including your chance to win some money. The KFI Inflation Compensation Contest is coming up next. Also, a reminder, because we haven't been here, the Moist Line is waiting for your calls. It's actually returning in 2 days. 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Also use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, to leave a message for this week's Moist Line. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We will have more on the homeless count after 2 o'clock. Blake Trolley from KFI News will be here, particularly focusing on the large growth in homeless on John's West Side in the count. Again, that count was conducted in January. And by the way, the county count, as high as it was, does not include Glendale and Long Beach and Pasadena. They do their own counts. And having been to Long Beach a few times this past year, there's a few homeless people there. They're getting off that metro train, right?
Yeah, so it's not even 75,000.
For a county of 10 million, there's even more than that if you include those. And I don't know what their counts were. I didn't see their numbers, but they're not included in that 75,000 figure. So we'll talk more about this next hour here on KFI. A couple of stories stand out from July 4th. And the first one, I don't know. I just have a feeling it's another issue that would divide America the way, you know, the whole red versus blue thing. I'm just guessing, John. I don't know this. It's the fact that in a number of places around the country, fireworks shows were replaced by drones. And I'll just drop it there.
This is the climate fanaticism. They're going to destroy everything you enjoy. There is, having a night of fireworks does not impact the climate. That is hysterical nonsense. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, they talked to Boulder, Colorado, where they have switched to drones. The shift from traditional fireworks to drones was not an easy decision and based on a number of factors, including increased fire danger fueled by climate change, said city officials.
Oh, BS.
While the show's going to be different, it promises to be a fantastic show that aligns with, with our sustainability, equity, and resilience framework.
Equity?
S-E-R-F, it's their SERF.
So wait, sustainability, equity, and resilience framework.
Oh yeah, fireworks are unfair.
That is gibberish.
They're unbalanced.
What? This has become such a religion, is these bureaucrats are now speaking in tongues. Those words don't mean anything. What is the definition of that? It makes no sense.
Is it better, though, for, like, the dogs whose ears don't explode from all the fireworks? Does that help at all?
You know what? The dogs got to put up with stuff, all right? We're in charge here.
More than 10,000 people were treated in emergency rooms from injuries from fireworks last year. 11 died. But I doubt that was from fireworks shows. You see, that's a little deceptive.
No,
that's from idiots setting off their own fireworks in the street.
Right. And those people aren't going to stop setting off the fireworks.
No, that's Darwin, right?
No, they deserve it. Anybody who blows his hand off with his own fireworks, sorry about that.
And the Washington Times does add this to that. The commission's annual report does not include any real injuries from rockets that dominate professional municipal displays.
No.
It was people with their own firecrackers and sparklers. And I think somebody, I saw the headline, blew off part of his hand during a yesterday's celebration.
That's his fault. But going back to the drones, anybody seen one of these drone shows? Are they any good? What do they do? I saw something on TV, but not.
It didn't really. I think you have to be in person. Well, they kind of move all around the sky in patterns and such, in colorful patterns.
What are they?
Sort of like fireworks.
Lasers.
There's lights attached.
What? No, they fly drones, John.
Lights attached to the drones that change colors.
Oh, I thought maybe they shoot lasers. I saw some places were doing laser shows.
Oh, they could do lasers. Right.
Well, have you seen this, Eric? Is this any good?
I've seen them at concerts and stuff and like music festivals, yeah.
But does this work on a large scale? Will you do it out of the water?
Some are actually very fascinating. The drones will all be coordinated and will all move at the same time.
Do they make booms?
They don't make booms, but they'll make shapes and...
There's no booms.
I want boom.
Yeah, there's no big boom.
I want the big explosion.
Yes, that is the appeal of fireworks.
That's what's cool.
Not when they go off at 3:30 in the morning. Last night.
I knew it.
I'm not kidding. Fireworks up until at least 3:30.
3:30?
It's one day a year.
You know what?
I don't like it either, but I don't care anymore. I was worried my house was going to burn down
and my poor dog.
You live in fire country.
True. Exactly.
Your dogs were freaking out?
They weren't freaking out. They weren't happy. I felt bad for them, but I felt worse for me because I got no sleep.
Oh, I didn't hear anything.
Lucky you.
I mean, there were plenty in the neighborhood. In fact, there's one bozo on my block really close to our house that was shooting them off.
Don't you love these 50-year-old people that want to be 13 again?
It's ridiculous.
Well, being 50 isn't fun for a lot of people.
I had a great night last night.
What did you do?
I was
shooting off fireworks.
Oh, there you go.
Illegally.
He's closer to 13 than 50, I suppose.
Yes.
In the lot of ways.
Well, actually, I don't know about that now.
Here's the other thing, though. Drone shows are expensive. A big one can cost several hundred thousand dollars, and a fireworks show can only cost $7,000.
It's just, I object to the reason for it. There's no harm to the environment. They're so full of, I mean, did they say a prayer before for the climate before they started the drone show? Did they congratulate themselves that they saved one trillionth of a tenth of a millionth of a degree?
The other 4th of July story is in your face, El Segundo Times and the rest of you with your drought forecasts. Believe it or not, there was a ton of skiers at Lake Tahoe yesterday. The Tahoe ski season included plenty of snow for July 4th. Now, they predicted this months ago when we had the big rainfall and snowfall. They said people might be skiing in the summer.
There you go.
And they were. Yesterday, or the entire July 4th weekend at Tahoe. So how about that?
I tell you, I think we won the climate change lottery. If this is permanent, this is great. Because the weather has been just so much cooler the first half of the year here.
Typically, the resort sees 400 inches of snow per year. This year, it was 723 inches. And people have been coming from all over the world. Because obviously this is a big story, and for people who enjoy skiing, I mean, what if you're in a part of Europe right now where there's just no skiing this time of year? They made their way to California, to Tahoe,
there you go,
to enjoy ski season. All right, when we come back, well, along with wrapping up their phony budget in Sacramento and going home for the summer, the legislators and the governor got the final California reparations report. Reparations is back. We have some audio to play, which is hard to believe. We have a couple of stories surrounding the final report. Last Thursday, they had one final public meeting. So there was a lot of public comment for the California Reparations Task Force to take in. We'll give you a recap coming up next. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we're only a couple days away from Moistline returning for the first time in a couple of weeks to the John and Ken show. So we're collecting messages, plenty of room. Leave your message using the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number. It's waiting for you, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Also next hour, another chance at money, the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest, the keyword at around 220. And we'll check in with KFI News reporter Blake Trolley for an in-depth look at the homeless count, particularly rising on the West Side. All of that's coming up on the show. With the close of the fiscal year in California, June 30th, they did their dopey budget dance. Also, the California Reparations Task Force delivered its final report to Governor Newsom and the legislature, where hopefully it'll just be put on a shelf and never looked at again. A poll they took in June showed that 65% were against big cash payments for the descendants of slaves in the state. Support for a formal apology, well, that was at 57%. Yes, we'll apologize, but we're not handing out thousands or millions of dollars to people. The man behind this task force is State Senator Stephen Bradford. He's kind of been the go-between in the legislature.
Yeah.
And the task force.
He's the same guy who doesn't want to prosecute fentanyl dealers who kill your kids.
He said, this is not the end of this work. It's just the beginning. Now it's up to the legislature, which I'm a part of, and the governor to implement it. And the last time we checked in with Newsom, he was saying things like, this is not so much about cash payments.
No, no.
This is just about reckoning.
I can't run for president on this. That's what he's saying.
Oh, well, the new swing here is that he's just a team player. He's not running for president.
No, he's running for president.
He's just a big Biden supporter, and he's out there also campaigning for the party.
He has a device, and it transmits Biden's pulse minute by minute. So every day he's looking down at his iPad.
He's in the on-deck circle, is that what you're saying?
No, he's ready. Oh, are you kidding? When Biden goes
even close to home plate, right behind Biden.
It's the second Biden is face down, Newsom will be behind a podium announcing that he's running to unify the country, to save the Democratic Party.
The task force had a final public hearing the other day. You can imagine who packed the auditorium, supporters of reparations money. And it got kind of raucous. One guy in the crowd was encouraging people to raise their fist and chant their desires for restitution.
More chants.
We have a piece of audio from another guy who compared it to some sort of a divorce type of settlement. Let's listen in.
First of all, America, from the evidence that they gave us, you're guilty. We are 16, 19. We was eating foo-foo. You kidnapped us. put a hate crime on us. That was the first one. Then you came here with all the other atrocities. When you brought us here, you raped our men, women, and kids. So therefore, you married us. Don't treat us like no cheap piece of meat. So therefore, our last name is American. So now is the time for a divorce. What do you get in divorce? You get half the money, half the land, alimony, child support, attorney fees, and everything else. So that's what we want.
I've never heard that comparison before. A divorce where they get half the money, half the accumulated wealth in the U.S., I suppose, since slavery began. Sounds like all this stuff.
I'm sorry, I wasn't here.
So that's what we want.
I don't owe you anything. I don't care what you want. You're not getting anything. Not for me. I wasn't here. Go find somebody who is here. Take it
Looks
up with
like
them.
His name was Reggie Romaine. I see him in the story.
What does he do for a living?
I mean, no idea.
I go to work. I don't have time to go to these.
Oh, that's what he said. In 1619, we was eating fool food. I thought he said foo-foo. Fool food is what he said.
He wasn't eating fool food in 1619 because he wasn't here either.
No.
We weren't here. He wasn't here. This is total nonsense. Like everything these days. Complete, utter nonsense. Not even worth discussing or debating. All right? None of the slaves are here anymore. None of the slave owners are here. Nobody was even in California other than the natives in 1619. And when they finally put together statehood and a constitution, slavery was immediately banned. It was never legal for a day in the state of California.
So right, but the claim is it was tacitly allowed.
I don't care.
If you came here with a slave, nobody bothered you.
Then go after those who tacitly allowed it. They're not here either. I'm not responsible for what went on in 1850. You're not. Nobody listening is. And nobody who wants reparations was here either. So stop it. You're not getting it. It's not going to happen.
So the other key point guy on this is Reggie Jones Sawyer, the assemblyman from Los Angeles. He and Bradford want to get as much done before they term out of office next year.
They're going to get nothing done.
That could require Newsom to sign or veto a reparations proposal before the presidential election.
You know what?
Of course, we'll know by then whether or not Newsom's a candidate.
First of all, Reggie Jones Sawyer is another one who will not prosecute fentanyl dealers who kill your kids.
So yeah, he's the public safety committee
guy.
Okay,
so the two of them are nuts. And secondly, if I don't know if they're sincere or they're just performing, I'm starting to believe that most people in public life are now just performing and they're doing an act. If they're really sincere, then they were completely conned by that snake Newsom. Newsom, there is zero chance Newsom is given reparations money while he's running for president. Impossible.
Yeah, so, that wouldn't go over well in many of the states.
No.
It didn't go over well in California, according to this poll.
No, it's impossible for anyone to run for president having just signed a multi-billion dollar reparations bill. Especially when most of the state is against it. All right, that's just impossible. So I think they're performing.
So this task force was at it for a couple of years, which means they really micromanage this. They recommend $13,619 for each year of residency in California, a figure derived by comparing the life expectancy between Black non-Hispanic and white non-Hispanic Californians.
Did they have a formula now, really?
They had an objective formula to pull 13,619 is a very exact number, yes.
You know what? I think it should be more like 17,115. I mean, that's just my calculation, my formula.
Oh.
Anybody can pull a number out of their rear end and say it's justified. Get out of here.
The other part of this, which came up later when we were looking at this story, was not just so much about slavery. It was also about the drug war. We were just talking about those two members of the legislature who don't want to increase penalties for fentanyl dealing. To compensate for mass incarceration and over-policing, they recommended $2,352 for each year of residency during the war on drugs, which was 1971 to 2020, if you wanted to know exactly the war on drug years.
You know what? I think the real sharp move would have been while they had tough penalties for drug crimes back 30 years ago, you should have not had anything to do with drugs. You shouldn't have possessed it, sold it, snorted it, smoked it, whatever the laws were that ended up with you going to prison, you shouldn't have done it. So don't come crying now 30 years later that life isn't fair. I didn't get thrown in prison. You didn't get thrown in prison because we didn't do drugs. We didn't sell drugs.
There was housing discrimination money, too. $3,378 for each year you lived in California between 1933 and 1977.
1933.
To 1977, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're looking at people who were discriminated 90 years ago.
You have to be a descendant of somebody.
Why
who
a
was
descendant?
A slave.
Why should descendants get anything? If you can prove you were discriminated in 1933, I guess you'd be probably about 110. Well, we'll look at your case.
I always ask this question too: is Alabama and Mississippi talking about reparations?
No, nobody is.
Any of the big, just ugly slave states?
It's just a state where slavery was never legal.
There's one like suburb in Illinois, right, that has reparations. I think, or
I'd go there. They're handing out free money. Go, get in line and take it. You know.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
We're in the era of bogus issues.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI, AM 640.
We're on from 1 to 4 every day, and after 4 o'clock, you can hear the show, the podcast, iHeart. What's it called? John and Ken on Demand, the iHeart app. I'm out of practice.
You are, man. Step back into the batter's box, into the cage. Go to the batting cage for a few days.
I really need. I got to need to go down to AAA for a while.
You're right. Oh, is that what happened on your time off? AA. I think of Alcoholics. Yeah. AAA. Oh, yeah. To drive your car. I think of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Well, I should go there too, probably.
Speaking of people with addictive problems, we have this story that Sunday night in the White House, in the West Wing, they found cocaine. Mm. And immediately, some in the media seized on the fact that Hunter Biden was seen at the White House on Friday, including one New York Post columnist named Miranda Devine, who tweeted out, "Cocaine found on White House premises. Dispatch call shows. First son Hunter Biden has acknowledged a prior addiction to crack cocaine. He was on the White House grounds Friday before heading off to Camp David with his father for the holiday weekend."
Well, he'd be my first suspect.
Somebody called her a reprehensible ghoul. "This is beyond callous, you reprehensible ghoul," someone said on Twitter about Miranda Devine, because the defense is they sweep the White House every day, and the cocaine was not found till Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And it was actually found in an area where people who take tours walk through.
Right.
It was found in like a little cubbyhole where you store your cell phone in a room.
The thing is, not only is he a crack addict, he's also stupid enough to leave it lying around in the White House.
In a cubbyhole in a little...
What do you mean? He's whacked out on crack all the time. Who knows? Did you see the video that came out? The photos that came out last week?
That's from the old laptop stuff?
More laptop stuff. He was driving 170 miles
an
hour.
He's not that person anymore.
170 miles an hour in his Porsche on his way to Las Vegas. Actually, 172 to be exact. I'm looking at the photo.
That's amazing he's alive.
Yeah. So, he would be the top suspect. Who else would it be? You think it's Jill Biden? Of course he'd be the top suspect. Now, nobody knows for sure, but we'll find out eventually.
Well, I think coming off of his plea deal, this was some right-winger's attempt to plant the cocaine to make it look like Hunter is still.
That's a good one.
They took a White House tour, and they snuck it in there and said, "I'm sure they'll think this is Hunter Biden's, right?" Because he was at the White House a number of times after he got the plea deal.
Because along with the photo of him going 172, there were some texts released showed Biden coordinating with prostitutes for a hot tub party on the same trip in Las Vegas. I don't have a bathing suit, and I really, really wanted to wear a cute bathing suit, a woman named Cheryl had written to him. I don't have any money to buy one, so I'm just going to have to be naked, right?
Hmm.
Honestly, babe, the problem is you have too many girls there, Cheryl wrote. I understand you like a lot of girls. That's fine to do one at a time, she added. So she wasn't happy about the crowd. So that's Hunter Biden. Only thing he's good at is selling access to his father to foreign nationals. That's his talent in life.
The latest update in the story is White House cocaine culprit is unlikely to be found, according to a law enforcement. Yeah, do they have surveillance cameras? Or maybe they don't have it.
You would
they
think. Have it? I don't know.
It was a highly trafficked area of the West Wing where they found this. A cubby area for storing electronics within the West Executive Basement entryway into the West Wing, where many people have access. Mm-hmm. Staff, visitors.
So whoever did this, this was their little hiding place?
They thought it was funny. Yeah. They thought it would be funny. I mean, imagine if you took a White House tour and you're an idiot prankster and you actually use drugs. You might think that would be funny. But what if I drop off a baggie of cocaine in the White House? I'll stick it somewhere. Yeah. A, let's see if they find it. And B, let's see the frenzy after they find it.
I guess that's possible. Although, if I was going to bet a dollar, I'd bet on Hunter.
It's possible, although. Yeah, and he's not. He's dumb enough to maybe do something like that.
He's dumber than his father, which is saying a lot.
Apparently Joe would not answer a question shouted at him today or his meeting with the Swedish prime minister. But the White House spokeshole just said, let's let the Secret Service do their job, we believe and have all the confidence they'll get to the bottom of this episode.
Now, if it really was Hunter Biden, what are the odds we ever hear about this story again?
Oh, pretty slim.
Zero. Yeah. There's no chance. So
they'll just say they couldn't find who.
It's really convenient to put out, well, you know, this is a heavily trafficked area and the public goes through here. And Hunter actually wrote his name on the bag.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Black magic marker. Sure. It said Hunter Biden.
Don't, like a lunch bag?
Do not touch. This is mine.
Do not touch my cocaine. You've probably been hearing about this hotel worker strike that's going on in Southern California. It's a big union. The contract talks between the hotels and Unite Here Local 11 represents up to 15,000 workers employed at major hotels, expired last Saturday at midnight. We have the report on what they want, and you could have guessed by now it's money, from ABC7 reporter Christiane Cordero.
Area hotel workers stood in the shadows of their employers and marched towards a common goal. Unite Here Local 11 represents 15,000 hotel workers, including housekeepers, cooks, and front desk agents. It is day three on the picket line after their contract expired Saturday morning. The message, their time and their money are both spread thin.
They live in Palm, they move to Barstow, they move to different places to have a decent house, to have a roof.
It takes me about an hour with traffic to get to work on the bus.
The hotel bargaining group says its last offer included an increase of $2.50 an hour in the first year and a $6.25 increase over 4 years.
It's not sufficient. What is sufficient is what our union is proposing.
The union wants an immediate $5 an hour raise, plus another three in subsequent years of the contract. They also want improvements in health care, retirement, and a workforce housing fund.
At the end of the day, we are the ones who represent the hotel. Without housekeepers, without chefs, without, there's really nothing on the hotel.
Hotel operations have continued on a busy holiday week nonetheless. Alex Roundy is in town for the Anime Expo. He's fine with the strike.
It's a little inconvenient, but one of our buddies had said it better. It's just a little inconvenient for us for a few days, but it's probably more inconvenient for them for like a year.
But he knows his opinion is just one.
Also, some people are like, don't bother us. We aren't the ones that are causing the problem. Talk to the JW. It's not us.
Even though this contract negotiation affects roughly 60 hotels, they're not all walking out at the same time. So far, during this 4th of July week, the union has focused on downtown and Santa Monica hotels.
You know, when I hear that report, a couple of people commenting, well, then why don't you work at a hotel in the Inland Empire if that's where you live? And I actually have an idea. I think all the homeless that they're just in the count, they should go to work in these hotels.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to live in there, because they've been putting them in their operation.
If I was the dictator, yeah, that's what I'd do. I'd tell this crowd striking, it's like, we're supposed to subsidize your long commutes. Go get a job near your house. How about that? I bet you there's plenty of jobs.
Right, they couldn't find housing near their job, so if they found housing, now they have to find a job near their housing if it's too much to commute.
They
make between $15 and $20 an hour, but they want to jump to at least $25 an hour and then a couple of dollars more after that.
But for all these years, it was good enough, wasn't it? They were driving all these years at $15, $20 an
hour. Well, they're saying that inflation has really just ripped off everybody.
Well, who did they vote for?
They
Well, they voted for the guy who created the inflation. So that's the tax they have to pay now for voting badly.
So now they can't they can't afford to live. They can't afford to
That's a great idea, though. Fire all these people. Tell them to go get a job by their house, and then take all the homeless off the streets and put a uniform on them, and say, "Hey, you there? You're the bellman. You're the
a lot of the hotels are going to try to continue operations with just getting fill-in and management and administrative people doing some of the work. That's what I've been reading. So a lot of the hotels are not actually closed; they're just being picketed. All right. When we come back, last week the big homeless count came out for Los Angeles County and, of course, Los Angeles City. And some of the biggest increases were on the west side. We'll talk about it next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.